And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Darren McFarland, Will Adonick here with you for the next 4 hours. Elijah Campbell manning the board, the Hillside Medical Game Studios. We're going to cover a lot of ground like we always do. We'll hit a little Nashville SC at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little Titans to begin the second hour. Talk a little NFL in the third. And wrap up with a Predators player, some hockey. But we'll have all that in between as well. Willie, what's going on?
Well, Darren, it's not as humid today. I got the morning jog in. I have actually stopped sweating.
Oh, really?
Before the show. Yeah, not as humid, not as hot. So not as much post-run sweat today. So I'm glad to report that.
Do you feel like you work better, less sweat, or heavy sweating?
I think, you know, you sweat it out early. I think it helps the performance during the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm get it all out, then towel off, and then get after it at 10.
Yeah,
okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because you have been dripping during the show before in the first
that segment. On Friday, for sure, that was extreme. That was extreme.
Kind of like the Mariners and the Angels.
Oh, yeah.
That was extreme.
That was extreme. That was a legit brawl. There's maybe a couple per season now as opposed to what it used to be. But that was pretty legit.
Well,
and a great gum toss by Rizal Iglesias, I have to say.
Was it, though? How would you rate that?
Oh, that was a great shot put. The super slow-mo of the sunflower seeds and gum, whatever was in that little basket there.
Uh-huh.
Probably a little bit of both. That was outstanding cinematography there.
That was. It was. And so for all the people out there that think these players don't like each other, you know, they all like each other. Now, that's not true. We just saw it. Apparently, the Mariners and Angels don't like each other so much that I lost count. How many games were doled out in total? A lot. Nevin got 10.
Yeah, it
Winkler
starts
got
Nevin.
7.
10 games for Phil Nevin. Welcome to the job. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Goodness.
Hello.
Have they ruled on all the guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to find it here.
Yeah, they have. They have done a lot of penalties.
They ejected 8 guys, but how many guys were suspended? By the way, they have 11 more matchups between the two teams. That could be fun.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to go away. I don't think that was a one-off.
Look, sometimes you need a good brawl. Every now and then spices things up a little bit.
47 games total. There you go.
Phil Nevin's got to try to appeal that down a couple of games, right? 10 games.
They will. Yeah. And they'll get it. The typical stuff. If I was them, I would always bump it up just to, whatever your number truly is, bump it up, because when they appeal, just bump it down to the number you really wanted it to be.
And let's break this down. Jesse Winker, the former Red, he got 7 games. How many do you think were for the brawl, and how many for the double bird to the fans?
He did go Jordan Beck as he was leaving the field. Actually, he did Jordan Beck times 2.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think he had a single and then a double. He was halfway to the cycle.
Did he? I thought he just went on and... Well, pulled both guns out of the holster.
The camera had both guns in the holster. I was listening to Buster Olney's podcast, and he played the radio clip, and the radio guy for the Angels had the play-by-play of it. And he said, he extends a finger to the crowd, and now he's got a double finger. It was a great call.
A double finger.
Yeah.
You could say bird. I mean, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah,
there's no violation.
Yeah, it's Terry Smith, who I think for a long time was Columbus's announcer. He did the Ohio State. He's good friends with Pete Weber. he was famous on Buster's podcast the other day. It was quite an amusing call, the play-by-play of a brawl.
Because on Twitter, a lot of the descriptions were Winker went – full double birds.
Well, he definitely went full. The question is, did he do a single before the double?
Yeah, I don't know.
Were there two separate?
Is it a simultaneous double bird?
Oh, he definitely had a simultaneous double bird.
Did it start at the same time? That's the important thing.
We'll have to watch the tape, because I was just listening to the play-by-play guy. He indicated a single, a pause, and then the full double.
That's premeditated. If you do it both at the same time, it's a crime of passion. There's two different punishments.
So three total birds. One plus two.
I'm pretty sure that one was crime of passion.
So it's a seven-game ban, maybe one for each bird, and then four for the participation to start the brawl. Yeah. He got hit right in the cheek, if you will, to get it started.
Yeah, and I heard he, right before he went down the steps, he said, "I'm your Huckleberry." So I mean, he may get something for that, too. I don't know. It was pretty.
Yeah, there were some expletives. And that's the only thing he apologized for after the game. He's quite the character, Winker. He said, "I do want to apologize for what I did to the fans." The rest of it, he was like implying, "I don't apologize for that."
Why do we think that he's apologizing?
To the fans?
Yeah, so that
you don't need to flip off the fans.
Well, I'm just saying that goes to what Elijah said. That's a crime of passion, right? It's not premeditated. You're not apologizing for premeditated. You're apologizing for losing your lid and just going, right? And just going off the reservation for a brief minute.
Now, Iglesias did get two games. So did the toss and the tirade in the dugout. Was that part of the suspension, or did he have another role in the brawl? Because that's another thing that people observe about the baseball brawls. The bullpens have to come in from way out there, right? You got to jog all the way in there. Half the time, you don't even make it all the way in before things cool down. But obviously, Rizal was still hot after it looked like after everything was over. And then he heaved everything on the field. That's got to be at least one of the two games, right? And the interpreter got two games. Manny Del Campo.
That's when you know you've truly gone off the reservation. And you know this was an epic brawl whenever the translator is getting sent home.
Oh, boy.
So here's the question. We had a little fun. We've done this a time or two during the show, especially this time of year. This is the time to do it. So here's the question for everybody out there listening. And you don't have to go into great detail on our text line, because I know it could be, or you could call in. We'll work stuff in. What's the maddest you've ever been? And what did you do? What was it over, and what did you do? Like, what's the maddest you've ever been where you basically lost it? You lost your mind. I think that's what Winker's saying. Like, I clearly had about 30 seconds where I blacked out, right? I didn't even know. I was so mad. My blood pressure was 900 over 800, and I just went double bird. And then I thought about it later, and I was like, probably should have done that after my blood pressure returned to normal. Oof. The maddest you've ever been in your life, and why? And what did you do?
I thought you were going to ask if anybody's been in a brawl.
Well, that could be the answer for somebody.
It could be both. Maybe it could be part of it.
It's going to tell us they were in a brawl.
Okay.
I don't know. There's been a lot of YouTube videos out there over the years of, you know, U Sports brawls. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
When Laura and I went to the Rockies game in Denver, a couple summers ago, and we sat right two rows directly in front of us was that kid. I didn't realize it at the time when we were talking about it. That took place at Denver, but that kid umpire, where the parents went nuts. That kid was recognized. That game was a sellout, and they recognized. They brought him down on the field and got a standing ovation. That kid sat two rows directly in front of us with his family. Do you remember that? Right, 3 years ago.
I'm trying to recall.
He was the umpire. It was a kid. I think he was probably 14. And they went bonkers. There was a fight amongst the parents. He was the home plate umpire. Yep. I'll never forget that. So maybe if those people are listening, they could call in and, you know, or text us and say, "Yeah, I was a part of that brawl. I lost my mind for a couple minutes."
I've got a comical story about a brawl in the minor leagues, but I'll save
it
for later on the show.
Because I don't think I recall you ever telling this story.
I was part of a couple brawls. There was a Vanderbilt, Tennessee baseball brawl that was legit. That definitely had some punches thrown and ejections. And it was my graduation weekend at Vanderbilt. Like, I just graduated the day before. Like, family's in town. grandparents, like everybody's there. Hey, we had a brawl the next day against Tennessee. Jeez, that was crazy.
Oh, not your family. Oh, this was okay. The game. Okay.
No, the Vols and okay. the Commodores. Good grief! It was nuts. But we had a brawl in Pocatello, Idaho. I'll tell it on the other side of the break. It's comical because everybody was heated up and it didn't materialize. And I'll tell you why.
Bryant tweets at us and said, "The maddest I've ever been. Sisson scored. Enough said."
Oh man, I'll tell you, that's up there. That is up there.
That's a good one. I'd love to know more, Bryant. How mad were you? What did you do? Can you tell us that or no? Would you rather not relive that? By the way, Sean wants to weigh in on our phone line too. All right, we'll come back. Yeah, I got to hear the story.
We got it going here.
I want to hear this story. And we'll get Sean's phone call and we'll read some texts. People are telling us exactly the maddest they've ever been. We'll do that on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, Paul. Our show is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, a York certified comfort expert company. Schedule now at springhillac.com. Back here on the DDC on this Tuesday morning, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's bring in Ben Wright. We always enjoy our chats with him. Covers Nashville SC. Tell you what, let's find out how mad Ben has been. Ben, what's the maddest you've ever been in your life?
You know what? I don't get mad that often. I'm pretty vanilla. I can't really think of a time off the top of my head.
Nothing?
Yeah.
You've never been like over the top mad about anything?
You know what? No, man. You're catching me off guard here. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that really stands out. Which
good
is
for you.
Great radio, right?
Great. Good for you. I guess you are vanilla. I mean, that's fine.
Just chill.
I mean,
he's just chill.
Yeah, he's just chilled, man. Wow. All right. Hani Mukhtar, this just in. He's pretty good. Player of the week. In all seriousness, where would this team be without him? I mean, he has just turned out to be not only obviously a dynamic player, but a player, a must-see player, right? When he's out, like you can't take your eyes off, at least I can't. I just think I'm in amazement of what he does game in and game out.
Yeah, I mean, he's not just the best player on the team. I mean, he's one of the standout players in the league. I think everyone knew last year just how good he was. He was finished second in the league MVP voting. And I think it's kind of maybe vindicating in a way for him that it's turning out that it wasn't just kind of his one good year, but he's doing it again this year. He's just kind of blown every expectation out of the water. And yeah, like you said, I have no idea where Nashville would be without him, but he has been so important for them. It's hard to overstate just what an important player he is.
Huge win in D.C. Do you feel like, we talked about it, Gary Smith has not been that happy. They've been kind of going through a little bit of a patch here. Do you think they've kind of turned the corner, come out on the other side with that win?
Yeah, maybe. I think their last three games have been against three pretty poor teams. They drew San Jose at home in Nashville. And I think they played well enough that they probably should have scored two or three goals and won that one. So I think you can kind of write that one off maybe to some bad luck. The Kansas City loss was a bad loss to a bad team. And then they came back and beat another bad team in DC netted pretty handily. So, I mean, I don't think things are as bad as they seemed after the last two home games. I think they're right about where they should have been expected to be at the start of the year, competing for a playoff spot, maybe not towards that like very, very top echelon in the league, but still a pretty darn good team.
Going back real quick on Mukhtar, I meant to follow up with this. You said he was second. Do you think this year he's there's a real shot he's going to be the league MVP?
Well, I mean, I voted for him last year. He was first on my ballot last year. And I think the way MVP voting works in MLS, and I think really kind of any league, it's a lot about narrative. And I think the guy who beat him out last year, Carlos Hill for New England, was the best player for the best team. And I think typically that's kind of just a shoo-in way to win. I think now Mukhtar is just kind of so clearly in front of everyone else that I think there's going to be a real interesting couple months here as the season kind of winds down to see what happens with that narrative and if anybody else kind of stands up and challenges him for it, because I think right now he should be the favorite.
We're talking to Ben Wright, director of soccer content at Broadway TN, and he covers MLS. So, Ben, we're talking about the halfway point of the season here. Still a long way to go for MLS. I know you get into a little bit of analytics as well. So when you look at the team, and we talked to you last week about this after they lost to KC, that maybe they're underachieving a little bit. They feel like they can play better. So what do the analytics say? Have they underperformed that way?
They're with the analytics, they're about right where you'd expect them to be. I don't know how in the weeds you want to get, but there's a big metric in soccer is expected goals, which is basically if you look at every shot a team takes, it takes everything into factor, like where the shot was taken, if it was with a right or left foot, all that kind of stuff, and how likely it is to result in goal. And they're pretty close to matching that number. I think they're about a goal and a half behind. They've scored a goal and a half less than their expected goals would expect, which is a pretty decent place to be in. As far as points go, there's another similar tally called expected points, and I think Nashville's maybe one. I checked it this morning. It was like 1.7 points behind that. So again, about right on track with that. I don't think they're underperforming. I think the big question mark has been now that the road trip to start the year is over. They're playing at home a lot. I think a lot of people just kind of expected it was going to result in a huge uptick in form, and that really hasn't happened. They've been about as good at home as they were in that early road stretch. And so I think a lot of people, myself included, were kind of expecting them to really take off once they started playing at home. The only upside to that is that they're halfway done with the season, and the vast majority of the games in the second half of the season are going to be at home. So I think they do have a bit of an advantage. So I think they're about on track for where they should be, with the potential that they could improve.
Ben, I heard you talking too, and I was watching the broadcast, the national broadcast, on Sunday. You were talking about this is a period of time, and you were doing your best to explain it to us who don't understand it as well, but a period of time where there can be some exchange. You can bring in players from outside spots. I know some teams around the league did that. What anything to update there from Nashville's perspective?
Yeah, so that opens here on July 7th is when those moves can officially go through. And like you said, several teams, including LA, Los Angeles FC, have announced some pretty major deals coming in. Nashville is usually a little bit more quiet than those teams, so I wouldn't expect that we get any announcements from them until the window actually opens. I don't think it's going to be anything to that level of bringing in a guy like Gareth Bale, who's been one of the four or five best players in the world for the last decade. I think we'll see them make a couple of moves, maybe trade for a couple of players from around the league. But I don't think they're going to do anything that completely like reshapes their roster. I think if anything, it's going to be adding in some depth pieces, maybe looking for another guy who could potentially start at right back. But I think it's going to be looking for a lot more guys who can contribute and kind of fill out the roster.
How much of a difference? I think they got Liao back in the game, and you were talking about his presence. He's a guy that we watched play a lot last year and did some really good things. How much of a difference does he make when he's in the lineup?
Man, he's huge. I think before he got hurt, he had a real argument to have been Nashville's best player to that point this season. He just does so much important work off the ball. He works really hard defensively. He tracks back a ton, and he does a lot of like the connecting work from between the midfield and forward lines. So when he's on the field, Hani Mukhtar and CJ Sapong are just so much better because they can just focus on getting open and receiving the ball, and they don't have to worry about doing as much of the dirty work. I think he's a hugely important player to this team, and I think getting him back and healthy is going to be one of the bigger things that happens to them this season, because I think you've seen, well, they have struggled a little bit in the past couple of weeks, and I think a lot of that can probably be put down to missing Leal, and I think having him back is just going to be massive for them.
What, do you have an ankle injury? Is that right?
Yeah, he got hurt. He got on the wrong end of a pretty bad tackle against Salt Lake, which I believe was their second game at Geodis Park, so early May, and he missed, I think it was seven games. came off the bench against Kansas City and got his first start since May against D.C.
Leave us with this. We flipped around. We picked up the game on Sunday, and I just sort of take for granted that on one of the channels I'm going to be able to find most of the games. But I'm still trying to wrap my arms around what's going to happen down the road when Apple TV takes over the telecasts of the league. What are your thoughts on that, Ben?
I am fascinated to see what happens. I mean, I think it's really kind of the first time we've seen something like this happen where a streaming service is getting like exclusive rights to a pretty major league. I think Major League Soccer is kind of betting on their demographic being like younger and more interested in streaming and kind of being willing to pay for a subscription service like this. I mean, they've got the money up front, so financially it's going to work out for MLS, but I'm really interested to see how it affects viewership numbers. I think there's still some talk that they could put a couple like national broadcasts on linear TV or like a network like FS1 or ESPN. So there's some potential that they could still get a handful of matches out to a larger audience. But I think it's going to be interesting to see if the move pays off, because I don't know of too many people who are thrilled about the idea of having to sign up for another subscription service and watch games behind a paywall.
Interesting. So what, tomorrow night in Orlando City, right? The U.S. Open Cup. Is that what, quarterfinals? Is that right?
Yeah, it's the quarterfinal. I think it kicks off at 6 Central. And if Nashville wins, they've already won the right to host the semifinal and potentially the final if they make it that far.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's pretty huge deal for Nashville to potentially win the first trophy that they've ever won as a team, going back all the way to USL.
Wow, that's awesome. We'll see how indeed that plays out. Ben, stay chilled, okay? And we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys.
And if you get mad, let us know next time you come on, because that would be groundbreaking. That would be groundbreaking, because apparently that's never happened. You've never gotten mad.
I'll start a log. I'll keep track of this for you guys and report back.
Yeah, you've got some analytics. Expected anger. You can maybe put that up. Yeah.
I'll come up with some kind of metric to measure it.
Perfect.
Nice. Hey, Ben, thanks for the visit.
Thanks, guys. Take care. That's
good. Ben Wright, director of soccer content.
He's icy
Broadway
cool, man. He's icy
TN.
Cool.
Yeah. Also
Broadway Sports.
At MLS. Yep. Good stuff from him, as always. That's an unexpected answer. I'm pretty chilled. I don't really get mad.
Benny Ice.
Benny Ice. Benny Ice. Well done. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour of the DDC. We'll do that next. We've got a pair of tickets to see Third Eye Blind at First Bank Amphitheater on July 27th. We'll give those away at some point in the show. Just continue to be listening, because you never know what you're going to hear. Like yesterday we told you, Bucky's is open in Crossville. By the way, I watched all the local channels last night. Every one of them had a story on that, Willie. I'm just telling you. And you know what? The show was talking about Bucky's, okay? Then the local television stations are like, you know what? Bucky's is a big deal. We should talk about it. They all had a piece on the Bucky's opening up. But we'll give away those tickets. Good job by Ben Wright. Talk a little Nashville SC. That would be cool if they could beat Orlando tomorrow and host. And get. Can you imagine if they won the U.S. Open Cup? That would be super cool for them this early in their existence. So we'll see if that is the case. There was also some news. We'll have Jonathan Hutton coming up to begin the second hour. We'll talk a little Titans. And Deshaun Watson, who's having his hearing today. In fact, they had David Culley on yesterday, and we'll get into all that with Jonathan Hutton. Pretty interesting interview. What is going to happen with Deshaun Watson? The league is – this is what I don't understand, and we can get into this with Jonathan. You see the reports, right? The league is pushing for a long suspension. What am I missing? I mean, I think they do have an independent – person ruling, but
well, it's kind of
who pays the independent, the league, right? So is it really independent? Like, how does that work?
It's not as advantageous and truly independent, in my view, as baseball, because that was one thing that the late great Marvin Miller did for the baseball players union, is he truly got the independent arbitrator that both sides have to sort of agree to do, to settle disputes. And that's how the players gained free agency. Eventually, that's what led to the baseball players, and then eventually all the other sports getting unrestricted free agency, gaining that right. That was an independent arbitrator that ruled in favor of the players. But in football, I don't think it's quite as neutral if I had to assess it. But at least the players do have, you know, somebody other than Roger Goodell hearing this right now. But I think they're going to lay it on pretty heavy. The Players Association is going to bring up a lot of things about Jerry Richardson, Daniel Snyder, and, of course, Bob Kraft, right, from the Patriots. They're going to, or Robert Kraft, they're going to say, okay, what was the punishment for these guys? But I think the year is in the ballpark of what it, in my mind, should be. And maybe the Players Association is trying to get that knocked down to something less. So I don't know where it's going to go. I think they tried to settle this behind the scenes and say, okay, before we hash this out to an arbitrator, to a judge, you know, let's negotiate this. What would you take? And they couldn't come to an agreement. So this is going to, you're going to hear from a lot of the women in this, and it might get pretty ugly, some of the stuff that gets said.
So the disciplinary hearing is today. I don't know how long. I haven't seen anything that says how long this is supposed to go. Is it supposed to be over today? Is this the rest of the week? Is this a couple of days? Have you seen a timeline? I haven't.
I don't know exactly. But, of course, there's an appeals process even after this judge. I think her name is Sue Anderson. Is that right? You could appeal, but then you would be appealing to Roger Goodell after that, as I understand it. So I'm not sure that's advantageous after that. So what she comes down with, I think, is going to be the key.
I think anything less, I mean, personally, I think he deserves a year. But to me, anything, I guess now it's hard to do the half of season. They play 17 games. So I guess, how about a little bit? 9 games. You can't do 8.5. So 9 games, anything less than that to me is a real travesty, I think. My opinion. It's got to be half of a season. Personally, again.
Well, is there a chance? I'm just going to throw this out there. Could it be more? Because that's one thing the
more than a year?
More than a year. Because the NFL is saying, let's settle this. We say a year. That broke it down. Well, if it goes to this judge, who's to say she couldn't rule more than a year? I guess that could be. I would be surprised.
Is there precedent of that?
No.
I guess there has been. Well, there has been indefinite suspensions, right? Who was the receiver that was always getting suspended? Didn't he eventually get just indefinite?
Well, Josh Gordon, but that was repeated
suspension.
Offenses. This is in its own category for sure. Yeah. With Deshaun Watson. And Josh that's what Gordon. I think is going to be difficult for the Players Association to argue, because can you really cite other cases that are similar to this? This is so unlike anything else.
Well, I don't know. No, I guess there's been obviously domestic violence. There was the Robert Kraft. You know, that was, again, to what we're talking about, no, I can't recall another case like this. So it definitely isn't it's a separate category, but there are other things that have happened that are in and around this category. So I don't know. I mean, obviously everything is to each his own, right? Every case is going to be different. I don't know what she's going to do. I don't know how long this is going to take. I know that there's going to be I'm sure they would love to have closure before heading into July on what is.
Well, the initial decision is supposed to come before July 4th.
Which is Monday, correct?
Yes. Robinson will hold the hearing today, take arguments from Watson, the league, and the union. Albert Breer reported earlier this month that June 30th, was considered an important date in the process, as it is the deadline for pretrial discovery in the four remaining civil lawsuits against the quarterback. Remember, there are still four women that have not settled their cases with Watson. Mm-hmm. There'll be something to watch.
I saw a report in that. Now I'd have to go back and find it. That I guess, I think it was Ian Rappaport, I think. No, that's a fake account. Anyway, I'd have to go back and look it up. But somebody caught up with Baker Mayfield, and it was like, you know.
Yeah, I saw that exchange. It was a funny exchange, kind of a joke, like, hey, I'm busy or something like that. Hey, we could use you. But it looks like there's a lot of signs pointing to Mayfield and the Seahawks, right? Is that still kind of
that's still
heavily rumored?
A lot of people are still trying to connect that dot. It's the one that makes the most sense, right? Because they certainly could use an upgrade at that position. But because it seems like from, if you read this, that there is not going to be any getting back together. I think this relationship between Baker and the Browns is over, no matter what happens.
I think it was pretty clear a few weeks ago that I would have thought that if you could have salvaged it, you would be working on that for the last month. Because looking ahead, You have to see, you had to know this was coming if you were the Browns. But that ship has sailed for sure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mike DeCourcy. Jacoby Brissett, come on down.
Mike DeCourcy in Sporting News wrote something that says, the Browns didn't just agree to fight through this mess. They sold their mansion on the lake in exchange for a palace currently engulfed in flames. That was the headline for his article on Deshaun Watson in Sporting News. On the text line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, this is an unnamed texter, but here's their story on the maddest they've ever been, Willie. I had a no-hitter in the bottom of the seventh at Austin Peay. We were up 10-0, and their hitter, their 240 hitter, third baseman, lays down a perfect drag bunt.
Ooh.
He couldn't outrun a forklift. It was so good by the time I got to it, I just laid on the turf and turned and stared at him like, really? I had to walk two in the bottom of the ninth to make sure he got one more at bat. I drilled him in the back with a 90-mile-per-hour fastball on the first pitch to express my appreciation. I felt better immediately with my one hitter. Wish that person would have left their name.
I mean, nice.
It's a good story.
I'll tell you what, there are some, this is the quote unwritten rule that when there's a no-hitter going, you don't bunt to break up the no-hitter. Now, some will argue that it's legit, it's fair game, why shouldn't you be able to bunt? But that's a great age-old baseball debate. But you will get a response if you bunt to break up a no-hitter, and that's what that gentleman just did. He responded.
Yep. Matt from D.C. says, I needed a double bogey senior year to qualify for state. Got a triple.
Ooh.
Snapped my driver in half. That's pretty mad. It's pretty mad. Wow. All I needed was a double. Oh, my gosh. And got a triple. Yikes. Yeah, Matt, I could see that. I could totally see that. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the second hour. I'm skipping ahead. Third hour will be Tim Hasselbeck. Second hour will be Jonathan Hutton. Outkick 360. They had an interesting interview with David Culley yesterday. We'll get into this and Titans news on the other side here on the DDC 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app.